It is no secret that if you keep living, you don't have to go far, you're going to be offended. It is a way of life. Somebody gonna do something to piss you, somebody gonna do something to upset you. Excuse me, sorry about that. Somebody's gonna do something to upset you. Somebody's gonna do something to irritate you, rub you the wrong way. It's just a matter of life. It is the way of life. You can't escape it. You can't ignore it. You can't run away from it. It is a way of life. If you're gonna, as long as you're gonna interact with people, it's just a matter of time before somebody does something that hurts. And I thought for a few moments today we would talk about and take a look at this question of handling offenses. In this series dealing with forgiveness, you got to learn how to forgive, but you got to learn how to deal with people when the offenses come. Amen. You got to learn how to do it. You got to learn, because if you don't learn how to deal with offenses, if you don't learn how to deal with people, you will be in a perpetual state of unforgiveness. You will be in a posture of always being upset, angry, and teed off because of something that somebody has done or will do to you. The word forgiveness, we define, means to lay aside, let it alone, to forget, send away, or to clear the record. Let me give that to you again. It means to lay it aside, let it alone, forget, send away, or clear the record. The call of God upon all of us is to live a life of forgiveness. That you are able to take the things that people do, people say, things they do to you, say about you, treat you, and lay it aside, let it alone, forget about it, send it away, clear the record. Don't hold it against it. Don't make a mental file box of everything that somebody did. Y'all ever met somebody who can draw, pull out the record, and then they got a folder with all the stuff you did and everything you said as they begin to flip through it? That's not the way God has called us to live our lives. We're called that when folks do something, we got to be able to move on. We got to be able to keep going. We can't be in a spot where we allow folks what they've done to hinder us. Because what I discovered is this. If you're not able to forgive people, what they do to you can impact and affect your relationship with God. If you don't learn how to forgive people, if you don't learn how to release them, if you don't learn how to let it go, and you want to hold on to it, you want to harbor it, you don't want to forgive them, you want to hold a mental record or an emotional record or whatever kind of record of what they did, it impacts your ability to have a meaningful relationship with God. And I don't know where y'all are, but I don't care who you are or what you have done. Who you are and what you have done is not worth me losing out in my relationship with the God that I serve. Y'all might as well come to grip with the reality of that truth and of that fact. That if you let what somebody did impact you, it in fact will have a major impact on your relationship with God. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you. The goal in the message today is to highlight a perspective that will empower you to be able to forgive others. And not only just to forgive others, but also to have the favor of God upon your life. That's what we want. We want to be able to forgive others and also have God's favor in your life. And that is nowhere more clearly illustrated than in the life of a gentleman named Joseph. Let me talk to you about Joseph for just a second. Joseph is one of 12 sons born to Jacob. He happens to be his father's favorite child. He was born to a woman whom Jacob loved. And so when he was born to this woman, he became almost instantly, immediately, his father's favorite child. As a matter of fact, he was so much his father's favorite child that his father gave him a Gucci sweater. I wish y'all knew the Bible, because the Bible says he gave him a coat of many colors. A Gucci sweater. Come on, talk. It's today's terminology. But something happened with Joseph. Joseph was his father's favorite child, which already put him in the outs with his brothers. But then one day Joseph had a dream. And Joseph made the mistake of telling his brothers about his dreams. How many of you know that sometimes you can't tell everybody what your dreams are? He had a dream that his brothers bowed down to him. Of course, they didn't like that. They didn't like that dream. They weren't feeling that dream. And so after he told them about this dream, the Bible says they plotted to kill him. Here his brothers, his blood brothers, schemed and plotted to kill him. Matter of fact, they came up with a plan. And in essence, the plan was that we will kill our brother and we will dip his coat of many colors in blood and take it back to our father and tell our father that an animal, a beast, killed him. These guys were really, they disliked Joseph. And then they decided that when they saw a group of men coming, that instead of killing him, they would sell him into slavery. And so they took Joseph, they had him down in the pit, they drug him up out of the pit, and they sold him into slavery to this band of men. These men then took Joseph and handed him off and sold him to a man named Potiphar, who happened to be a general, a captain in the Egyptian army. And Potiphar ended up being a slave in Potiphar's house. Joseph ended up being a slave in Potiphar's house. Matter of fact, he did his job so well in Potiphar's house that Potiphar put him in charge of the whole house. He put him in charge of everything. Matter of fact, at one point the scripture says that Potiphar didn't even know what he had in the house unless he had to ask Joseph, what did he have? God gave him incredible favor. He managed the affairs of Potiphar's house. But one day, something happened. One day, the Bible says that Joseph was a handsome fella. And one day, Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she went to Joseph and grabbed him by the collar and said, come lie with me. I knew y'all would be quiet on that because y'all don't want to admit the fact that all aggressive behavior is not just on men. Some women are more aggressive than men. Come on, ladies, y'all. I might as well say amen that some of the sisters are just as aggressive, if not more aggressive, than men. And while I'm on this point, some married women are just as aggressive as. Y'all can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. Miss Potiphar approached Joseph and tried to get him to sleep with her. And Joseph instead ran out of the house to the point that he was so determined not to sleep with this woman that he ran out of his clothes. I wish y'all knew the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't know if the reason he ran was because of his character or whether she was that ugly, but whatever reason, he ran. And I want to believe that he ran because he was a man of character. I believe, in fact, he was a man of character. And so there he left her clothes in his hand, in her hands. And when her husband came home, by the way, while I'm on this point, but this is the 12 o'clock service, isn't it? I can take my time. Woo! Man, I lost track. I thought I had to hurry up for the next service. By the way, since I got time, let me go back to the hoochie mama women in the camp. Let me go back and talk for a moment about the aggressive women, the loose dressing hoochie mama, low cut, low blouse, tight pants, butt popping, breast showing women. If you are saved and sanctified and you love Jesus, cover it up, girl. Stop advertising. If you ain't a whore, take the sign down. Come on, tell your neighbor, if you ain't a whore, take the sign down. If you ain't a prostitute, if you ain't an easy take, if you're not an easy lay, if you ain't an easy goer, getter, take the sign down. Have some respect for yourself. Dress with dignity. Cover yourself up. Come on now. Save yourself. Walk with some decency, Mrs. Potiphar. So she tells her husband when he comes home, she says, I'm gonna get y'all out here real quick. I promise. I absolutely promise I'll have you out here by 3 o'clock. But just hang with me for a few moments. She tells her husband that Joseph tried to rape her. So when Potiphar gets home and she tells him this, Potiphar casts Joseph into prison. So now he's in jail. And I want you to follow the story of this man's life. He goes from being his father's favorite child, who, by the way, his father was a man who had some means. He was not a poor man. Jacob was his father. Jacob had some resources. Jacob had worked and labored and had some stuff, and he had these children. And he went from being a free man to being sold into slavery. He went from being free to a slave in one day. He went from having resources to having nothing in one day. He went from one spot to the next in just a moment. He had that happen just overnight. And now he finds himself a slave. And then he ends up in Potiphar's house. And now he's a slave in Potiphar's house. And now he's gone even from a slave with some access to being in one day cast into jail. And now he's incarcerated and locked up in jail. And Joseph finds himself hanging out with cell buddies, both of whom used to work for the Pharaoh, the king. He finds himself jailmates with the chiefs, the former chief butler and the former chief baker of the Pharaoh. They both have found themselves locked up in jail with Joseph. And one day while they were there, both of these guys had dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams. He says to the baker, your dream means that in 3 days you're going to die. He says to the butler, your dream means in 3 days you're going to be released from jail and restored to your former position. And he says, all I ask is that when you get into your place of prosperity, when you get restored, will you just remember me? Matter of fact, the text says, will you remember me and get me out of this house? Get me out of this place. And so, in fact, Joseph's interpretation happens. He interprets the baker's dreams. And in fact, in 3 days, the baker is dead. His head is cut off. In 3 days, the butler is released, as a matter of fact, from jail and restored to his place of prominence. He's the chief butler. And in fact, the butler gets out. And what does he do? Does he do what Joseph asked him to do? No. He forgets all about Joseph. So now he's locked up in jail. Here's a guy with a series of events in his life who has really, I can't see that he has done anything wrong. He had a dream, told his brothers about it. They hated him, sold him into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife tries to sleep with him. He runs out of the house. She tells a lie on him to her husband. He casts him in jail. He interprets the baker's and the butler's dream. The butler gets out, forgets all about him. And now, all of a sudden, he's in jail, left and forgotten. If anybody had a reason to be bitter about life, Joseph did. The reality of life, my brothers and sisters, is that there are going to be things that happen to you that can easily cause you to become bitter and upset and mad and angry. But you got to learn how to deal with the things that life hands out to you. If you don't learn how to deal with offenses, if you don't learn how to handle people treating you wrong, forgetting about you, talking about you, calling you names, forgetting about you, denying you, if you don't learn how to deal with people trying to hurt you and damage your reputation, if you don't learn how to deal with the circumstances of life, then you will find yourself not reaching the destiny that God has for you. And I have made up in my mind, I am not going to let what you do or say to me keep me from reaching my destiny in God. So while he's in jail, sitting there twiddling his fingers with nothing to do, forgot about by his buddy, his friend, the butler, one day the Pharaoh has a dream that nobody can interpret. And then all of a sudden the butler remembers that Joseph interpreted his dream. And so now the Bible says that the butler says to Pharaoh, ask Joseph, he can interpret your dreams. they call forth Joseph. Joseph listens to the dream, and in fact, Joseph interprets the dreams. He tells the Pharaoh that your dream means that you're going to have 7 years of prosperity, but then you're going to have 7 years of famine. You're going to have a season where things are going well, and then you're going to have a season when things are not going well. And immediately, the Pharaoh, because he interprets his dream, releases him from prison and gives him charge over taking management over the years of prosperity to get them ready for the years of famine. Now, what's amazing about this story to me, what blesses my life, is that here's a man who responded, who could have been bitter. He could have been upset. He could have been angry about all the things that happened to him during the course of his life. But instead of him being bitter, he learned that it's better to be better instead of being bitter. He learned that it's better to be better instead of being bitter. He learned that it's best to be better instead of being bitter. Y'all can't get bitter. Don't get bitter. The difference between being better and being bitter is an I. If you change your I into an E, you can be better. If you stop focusing on me, if you stop focusing on I, if you stop focusing on yourself, then you won't get bitter. That's why you bitter, because you think you deserve better. You think nobody should have treated you this way. You think you deserve better than this. And that's what causes people to get bitter. The focus is on me. He ain't in the jail crying and complaining and telling everybody about how his brothers hated him. There's no record in the scriptures of him moping and crying because life handed him this and people treated him this way and his brothers sold him and part of his wife lied on him. And he ain't complaining about life. He learned how to handle his offenses. You know what I find amazing? Because he handled his offenses right and properly, because he handled them right, when it came time that the Pharaoh needed his dreams interpreted, the butler said, Joseph interpreted my dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and he took him out of jail, and in one day, his life changed. He's locked up in jail, had been incarcerated, and in one day, come on somebody, in all it takes, all God is looking for is one moment. God can shift your situation. He can take the drama of your life and spin everything around on a dime. He can take you from drama to the blessings of favor on your life in 1 minute. One moment in jail, the next moment he's in charge of resources. Can you imagine? One day he's incarcerated, but the next moment he is free. How could he get to that place? How could he get there? Let me tell you something. Can I tell y'all something? Can I tell you something? God wants to elevate some of y'all, but the problem is, here's the thing. He will not allow you to go into your destiny with certain attitudes and spirits and beliefs. And God could take Joseph from the prison to the palace because of how he handled his offenses. God cannot take you to your destiny because you have not learned how to handle the offenses of people. You still mad? You still not speaking to some people? You still sucking your teeth, rolling your eyes, ducking and dodging, not taking phone calls? You still talking about people? There's some names when their name come up on there. When you hear their name, something rises up inside of you. Until you deal with that, God cannot take you to your destiny. Yeah, this is a tough crowd here today. Until you learn how to deal with the hurt and pain of your past, you cannot reach the ultimate destiny that God has for you. God will not allow you to carry the drama of your pain into the prosperity of your purpose. Don't ask me to say it again. I can't say it again. I should have wrote that down. Somebody get the tape and write that down and give it to me. In other words, the pattern of God is this. When the children of Israel were in Egypt and they got freed from Egypt from being slaves and they were leaving Egypt to head to the promised land under the leadership of Moses, it took them 40 years before they could get there. And when they got there, it was under the leadership of Joshua. Moses had died. As a matter of fact, not only did Moses die, but all of the generation that were adults when they left Egypt had died. And the only two who were adults when they left Egypt who made it into the promised land were only Joshua and Caleb. And so here's what the thinking with that is. God said, I'm not going to allow this generation to take the spirit that they have of unbelief into the promised land. He says, I'm going to let this generation die and I'm going to take a new generation into the promised land. Y'all need to understand, you cannot get to your promised land while you dragging the baggage of the pain of your yesterdays. You'll never get to your destiny while you got that truckload of pain and drama and anxiety and stuff and things that people did to you. Long as you got that stuff dragging behind you, you can never get to your destiny. You got to learn to let it go, Jeffro. Let it go, Mo. Let it go, girlfriend. Let it go, dog. Let the trunk of the pain of the past go. And the reason that God could take Joseph from the prison to the palace is because Joseph didn't have a truckload of stuff to drag along with him. And how did he handle that? How could this man get to the place in life that he did not carry the pain? Because if anybody had a right to be upset, Joseph did. He could have been mad at his brothers. He could have been mad that his father didn't come looking for him. He could have been mad at Potiphar's wife. He could have been mad at Potiphar. He could have been mad, but we could go on down the line. He could have been mad at the butler because the butler forgot about him. There's a whole slew of folk in his life who he could have been angry with. But this guy had the ability to handle offenses properly. There are simply two things he did that I want to tell you, then I'll be done. I'm going to let you go. What are they, Pastor? I'm glad you asked the question. In chapter 45 and verse 4, look at what it says. Now, before I read this to y'all, look at me for a second. Let me tell you right now, I'm going to tell you something that most of y'all are going to reject. I already know that most of y'all are getting ready to reject what I'm about to tell you. But for the handful of people who are ready to reach their destiny, this word is for you. Verse number four says, now in verse 3, it says, He said to his brothers, I am Joseph. But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. I guess they were dismayed. I guess you were upset. If you are in the presence of the man who you tried to kill and you sold him into slavery, and now he's in charge and he got the power to take you out, I guess you are dismayed. I guess you don't know what to say. Can you imagine that? Y'all standing there looking among themselves, this is the cat that we sold. We were gonna kill him, and now we in his office, and he got the power to take us out. So they didn't say anything. He had the right to be angry. But look at verse number four. Verse four says, and Joseph said to his brothers, look at here, verse four. Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, here's the point. Here's my first point, that if you want to learn how to handle your offense, the people who offend you, if you want to learn how to handle offenses, first of all, you got to learn to not reject the offenders. Don't reject your offenders. This is key. It's important. That most of us in our natural flesh, when somebody does something to us, our natural inclination is to reject them. Our natural inclination is to turn them off. Our natural flesh response is, I don't want to talk to you. Don't come near me. Don't say nothing to me. Get out my house. I don't want to be around you. You get on my nerves. You know, just don't say nothing. that's your flesh. But if you want God to elevate you, you got to learn not to respond to how your flesh feels. You got to learn to respond to the way a Christian ought to respond. If you're going to be a Christian, then respond the way a Bible-believing, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-told, cross-wearing, tongue-talking, saved, sanctified person responds, which is, I'm not going to reject you. I'm going to draw you near to me. I knew this was going to be a tough pill for y'all, some of y'all to swallow. I was counseling somebody recently about their marital issues, and one of the parties says, I need my space. Space? Do you need us to put you into a rocket, into the space shuttle, and send you into space? Space ain't never healed nobody from nothing. That's not what heals you. Space doesn't heal you. You got to learn to make a choice to respond the way you're supposed to respond to the person who has just offended you. And space is not going to make that happen. Now, I knew y'all were going to get quiet when I got to this point. But the reality of the fact is that Joseph models for us the way God is calling believers to respond. If anybody had a right to... He could have cast him into jail. He could have said, I don't want him in here. But that's not what he did. Listen, look at what this man did. He's dealing with the men who tried to kill him. He said, come near to me. That's awesome, y'all. Matter of fact, that's not only... Look at verse 14 and 15. Since we're on this point, verse 14 and 15 says, then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Verse 15, moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Instead of pushing the person away, embrace him. Cliff Ash, my pastor friend from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, his wife Audrey, some years ago, Cliff Ash went on a business trip. This is before he was a pastor. He was a businessman. He was on a business trip. And he, on a business trip, slept with somebody that was not his wife. And he came home that night and confessed it to his wife. That night, her testimony is, she had sex. She made love to her husband that night. Look at y'all. Wow, my God. Go ahead. Let me let that sink in on y'all for a few minutes. Y'all can't see that, can y'all? That's your flesh. See, that's how you know it's right, because it's your flesh, because your flesh don't want to do what's right. And I mean, it takes God to do that. That's why you ain't got no God up in your life. That's why you ain't reached your destiny. That's why you can't get to where God wants you to be. That's why it's because you haven't learned to live your life according to biblical principles. Instead, you're doing what your flesh wants. Go on and preach, Pastor. They ain't gonna say nothing. That's the secret, y'all. Our flesh wants to push people away who hurt us. When God says, don't push them away, you gotta learn to not reject them, but love on them. Go ahead, lean over to your neighbor and say, he preaching better than you're saying amen. Go ahead, tell him. Don't reject your offenders. You need the power and the presence of God to help. You got to operate not by what your flesh feels. You cannot operate by what your emotions feel. You cannot make decisions on the basis of your flesh. And that's what gets us all in trouble. We make decisions on how we feel. And that's what gets you in trouble when you start making decisions by what you feel and not on the basis of principle. God was able to elevate Joseph. Can I tell you this? Oh, I'm going to tell you whether you tell me, I can tell you not. Whether or not. God could elevate, listen to this. God could elevate Joseph because God knew that once he put Joseph in the position of power, he could trust him not to crush the head of the people who had tried to hurt him. Some of you will never reach the place of destiny in your life because God cannot trust you that if he gives you power, that you will not misuse the power. Let me roll on to point two, since y'all have enthusiastically received point one with such joy and delight. Don't reject your offenders. Matter of fact, can you think about what would God have done to us if he had rejected us every time we offended him? Every time you lied, every time you cussed, every time you went somewhere you had no business going, what would have happened to you if God treated you the same way you treat people who offend you? What would happen if every time you offend God, he treated you the way you treat people who offend you? I don't know where y'all are, but I thank God he doesn't treat me the way I would have treated other people. I don't know where y'all are, but I thank God he loves me in spite of my behavior and in spite of my offenses and in spite of my choices. Number two, I got to hold, roll on. Look at verse 5. I want you to see if you can see something. Here's my final point. I only got two today. So he said in verse 4, I'm your brother whom you sold into slavery. Verse 5, but now, listen, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Y'all see that in verse 5? He says, don't you be upset at what you did. Look at this guy's perspective. Look at what he understood. I wish I could get you to see it. He took a vantage point that is so hard for us to get people to see. He said, don't y'all be upset. He said, I'm not upset at what you did. I've come to the conclusion that I don't want y'all to be upset because God sent me here ahead of time to help save your lives. Y'all ain't got it yet. That's verse 5. Slide down to verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And God sent me before you. And God sent me before you. Slide down to verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. He understood that he went through everything he went through because of God. Y'all gotta come to grips with whatever has happened in your life. It did not happen because of people. It happened because God allowed it to happen. Woo! Can I get an amen up in this camp from somebody? Can you see? He had a perspective that he knew in his point two that God had an ultimate purpose. That's why he can handle it. God had an ultimate purpose. And so since he said, I come to grips with the reality that God had an ultimate purpose, there's no need in me being upset with you for what happened because I can only be where I am today because God let every... Come here, let me see if I can bring this out to you. Here's what he's saying. Let me, y'all can't understand it that way. Let me put it to you this way. Here's what he is saying. He is saying, I'm not mad with y'all, brothers. Because the only reason that I'm here, the number two man in Egypt, dispersing resources in the midst of a famine, when ain't nobody got nothing but me, the only reason I can be here is because I interpreted the Pharaoh's dream. And the only reason I was able to interpret the Pharaoh's dream is because the butler told him about me. And the only reason the butler could tell him about me is because I interpreted the butler's dream. And the only reason I could interpret the butler's dream is I was in prison with the butler. And the reason I was in prison with the butler is because of Potiphar's wife. And the reason I was with Potiphar's wife is because I was a slave. And the only reason I was a slave is because you fellas sold me into slavery. And the reason you sold me into slavery is because I was daddy's favorite child. And the reason I was daddy's favorite child is because God knew back then that I needed to be over here today. Somebody say, hey! High five your neighbor. Say, God sent me here. Ain't no need of me being upset, but God sent me here. Ain't no use of me being mad at what they did. God sent me through. Ain't no need of me crying no tears. Ain't no need of me talking about that, because God sent me here. Somebody better get a hold of the fact that God is in control of this thing. God is in control of your life. God is the one who calls the shots. Nothing can happen to you that has not already went across God's desk. And if he signed off on it, he already knows that he put enough in you to be able to handle it. So stop whining and lift your hands and say, thank you for sending me. Thank you for being rejected. Thank you that I got talked about. Thank you that people called me names. Thank you that I got fired. Thank you that they divorced me. Thank you for whatever happened. God, I thank you. Hey! Woo. Who am I preaching to today? Somebody needs to go ahead and say, God, I used to cry over my past, but I realized I had to go to what I went through in order to get to where I'm going. I might not be there yet, but I'm going somewhere. God is sending me somewhere. Hey, hey, hey. Excuse me. Who am I preaching to? High five about three people. Say, God is sending me somewhere. Go ahead, do it with fervor. Do it with attitude. And tell them, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not crying tears. Yes, it happened to me. Yes, I got rejected. Yes, I got talked about. Yes, I got divorced. Yes, I got lied on. Yes, I've been in jail. Yes, I got raped. Yes, I've been abused. But God had it all in control. He sent me here. Work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those It does you no good to continue to point the finger at the offender. And the sooner you can stop pointing the finger of blame and be able to say to your offenders, God sent me through this. I look back over the things in my life that I would not have chosen to go through. I would have never picked those things. I can tell you that it is those things that have made me the man that I am today. Who am I preaching to today? Come here. Come to this altar quickly. Wait. Don't come unless you're willing to transition. If you're ready to let it go, come. I want to pray for you. Come on. You ready to let it go? Come here. I want to pray for you. You ready to release and holding people accountable? You ready to stop being bitter and upset and mad? And you ready to embrace the person? Come. Some of you today are about to be free. You ain't never been free before. The bigger picture is that God has a purpose for you. And there's nothing that any person can do to you to stop you from achieving that purpose. The Christ that we serve is greater than anything that any person or team of people can do to you. And the sooner you come to grips with that, the sooner you embrace and understand who Jesus is and the magnitude of who he is, and the sooner you can see that God has a purpose for your life. There's no need of holding bitterness, being upset, not speaking, walking away. They come in the room, you leaving.
You see their name pop up on the call ID, you won't take the call. Every time you get a chance to say something negative about the person, you do. You ain't hurting nobody but yourself. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. So I'm taking that the fact that you're at this altar, that you're willing to say to God, I'm going to look at this thing differently now. So all this time I've been looking at it with my focus in mind. Now, God, I'm going to look at it from your vantage point and know that it only happened because you let it. And the reason you allowed it is because there's some place you're trying to take me. Now, some of y'all are not at the palace yet. Most of y'all are not at the palace yet. You somewhere between the pit and the palace. You're in transition. You're in the midst of the journey. And you got stuck. Because you keep going back about something that happened, what somebody did. You're stuck. Let it go, dog. Let it go, Louie. Let it go. And embrace. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And when I finish praying for you, I want you to do something that you've never done. And that is take a moment and thank God for those offenses. I want you to be able to come to that place and say, God, I thank you for letting that happen to me. Because I know it's a significant part of helping me get to where I'm supposed to be. Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. Thank you for the awesomeness of your hand, the power of your might. Thank you for your sons and daughters gathered around this altar, whom I know you love. I want to pray tonight, today, for the essence of their lives right now. I want to pray for forgiveness to be released in their lives. I want to pray that they would send it away, release, laid aside, clear the record, and no longer hold people accountable, but instead be able to look at the circumstances of their lives and say, God, you sent this, and there's a purpose behind it. It's helping me to get to where I'm supposed to be. So I pray that you give us a mindset to know that we're in journey, we're headed somewhere, and that there's no need for us to be upset or angry or bitter. We release that bitterness now. We receive the compassion of your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. We purpose to no longer reject the offenders, but instead, Father, to see your hand orchestrating the events to get us to where we're going. We might not be there yet, but we know we are going somewhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now listen, thank God for the offenses. Go ahead, worship him and say, God, I thank you. Now thank him for where he's taking you. That's right. Thank him for where you're about to go. Thank him for the palace. Thank you for the position. Thank him for the place where he is about to take you.
We hope that you have been blessed by this message from Pastor Jenkins. If you're unsaved or have fallen away from your relationship with Jesus Christ, you just have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart right now that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again with all power. Your sins are now forgiven, and you're part of the family of God. Welcome. Maybe you're already saved and in need of a church home, one that will nurture your growth and development as a Christian. Or perhaps you were once in fellowship with God, but have since drifted away and are ready to return to your first love. Whatever the case, we'd love to have you become a part of the First Baptist family. Simply contact us at 301-773-3600 or visit our website at www.fbcglenarden.org for information on any of our convenient services or 100-plus ministries designed to meet your most intimate needs. Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr., First Baptist Church of Glenarden. We are Developing Dynamic Disciples.